everybody. Welcome back to Disney Inside Out Podcast. Let me ask you something. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to go to summer camp and see someone who looked just like you, and then find out that person's your twin and you were separated and you have a mom or a dad you didn't know about and you're going to finally get to meet them? Does that excite you? Well, then you should watch The Parent Trap. And on today's episode, we are going to talk about the 1961 Disney film, The Parent Trap, starring Hayley Mills and Hayley Mills. And our special guest is Shoshana Greenberg. Shoshana is a book writer, lyricist, playwright, singer, freelance theater journalist. And we're going to talk all about The Parent Trap because Shoshana loves The Parent Trap. We're going to learn about favorite scenes, some trivia, and we're going to talk about the sequels. If you haven't seen the sequels, well, they're not on Disney Plus. They were on the Disney Channel, and you can probably watch them on YouTube. Take a listen and have a great time exploring The Parent Trap. Hello, Shoshana. Welcome to Disney Inside Out.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. I'm a big fan of the podcast.
Thank you. We're so excited to have you because today we're going to talk about Disney's 1961 classic, The Parent Trap, starring Hayley Mills and Hayley Mills.
Yes. You have to mention both of them.
That's what I remember. That was like one of my initial things when we were going to do this film was the commercials when I was younger. It always was like starring Hayley Mills and Hayley Mills.
Right. That was like their part of the gimmick, I guess.
Yeah, it was definitely part of the gimmick. So I'm going to give some background to the movie. If you haven't seen the Parent Trap film, it's on Disney Plus. It's really fantastic. It's basically, to give a good summary, it's two teenage twins who did not know they had a twin. They meet at summer camp and they find out their parents split them up. And so they go on this sort of adventure to switch places and get their parents back together. That's a very, like, very, very brief summary of the film. But Hayley Mills plays both twins, Susan and Sharon. And it's based on a German book called Lottie and Lisa. 1949 book that inspired the film amongst many other films, because there's like a whole series of Parent Trap films, which I know we will talk about the sequels. But in the book, it's 2 9-year-old girls, Lisa Palfi from Vienna and Lottie Horn from Munich, and they meet in a summer camp. And it's similar. They decide that they learn that they're twins. They're going to switch places. It's pretty similar to the film, although I feel like there's a little more cultural differences because it's more of a German book. But this is what inspired the Walt Disney film. I just kind of want to know initial thoughts of this film. Do you remember like the first time you saw it?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I actually don't remember the first time I saw it. It's just always been a movie that has been part of my life with my sister. So my sister... we're not twins, but she's 2 years younger than I am. And so 2 years is not a lot. And so we're basically like twins, you know, yeah. And people sometimes think we're twins for some reason. So we just have always loved this movie. We've been watching it since we were kids. We quote lines to each other, even, you know, the famous ones, but also like really obscure ones. Like, I don't know if anyone can place like, "Go ahead, please," in the movie. Like, but sometimes we'll... recite that line to each other and we'll just know immediately what we're talking about. So yeah, I don't remember the first time, but it's just been just always part of my life. Yeah.
And do you have like, when you think or you see something that says Parent Trap or you hear it, what are some like images or scenes that like immediately pop into your head?
Well, definitely like the opening, I guess it's the first act of the movie, which is camp, you know, that's just so going, you know, going to over, like seeing overnight camp. I never went to overnight camp, but like seeing that, especially I guess 1960s overnight camp, like for girls, it's just such a different world. And of course, the song Let's Get Together is also... it's also an iconic moment from the movie. And my sister and I have definitely recreated that song in a video. Of course. And so, yeah, I would say those two parts are, I think, the ones that stick out to me as just like when I think of the movie, like those are the first scenes that come to mind.
Right. I was trying to think of like the first time I saw it. It was probably like on the Disney Channel at some point.
Yeah.
And again, similar to you, I feel like it's a movie that's just always been there. Like I don't remember not having a Parent Trap, but like I just, right. It was always there.
It's always there.
And when I think of it, I think of course, Let's Get Together. I picture them standing, you know, in the split screen, Susan playing the guitar and Sharon in the black dress. I think of that. I also think of some other random images, like the camp guy catching the punch bowl when the table flies and the punch bowl smacks into him and all the punch goes. Yeah. I think of that. I think of when they're at near the end of the movie when they take Vicky on the camping trip.
Oh yeah.
And I don't remember which one, but one of them is they're trying to get her to come in the lake and they're like, come
we don't
on.
Know which one. We don't know which one is which at that point.
We don't
point.
Know which one is which because they said that was the gimmick. And one of them's underwater and she's looking at the fish go by.
Yeah.
That scene, I don't know why I think of. And then I do think of Vicky like smacking the sticks together, you know, an old Indian guide.
Right. Such a good trick.
Such a good trick. I always think of that anytime in the woods. I'm like, smack sticks together. It keeps the mountain lions away.
Or you could at least just tell somebody that that's what happens.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, in some ways I'm like, well, it kind of sounds like a, you know, it would work.
Yeah, why not? Could try it.
It was based on the book, as I mentioned. The novel was discovered by a Disney story editor, Bill Dover, and he recommended that Disney should buy it. Haley Mills, she kind of just, I feel like Walt Disney sort of just discovered her and just sort of gave her all these great movies to be in. I even read something where she's like, I didn't have to audition until like 20 years later. And I had never auditioned before. She goes, I just was used to just, you know, being given the parts. And she really is a great actress. Like to play both of those parts, like I watch her and I was like, she does really well. The production was originally titled We Belong Together.
Aww.
And they started filming it in July of 1960, and they filmed it only for a couple months until September. It was mostly shot in various locations in California. The summer camp scenes were filmed at Bluff Lake Camp, and the family camping scenes at the end of the movie were at Cedar Lake Camp. The Monterey scenes were filmed around California. It's funny, the Monterey house, I was reading about this. People like went crazy for the house, which is Susan, the dad's
house. It's such a good house. It's like one of my favorite houses.
So much that like online, somebody actually like created a blueprint of what it would be. But actually the house, it wasn't a real house. It was just sound stages with rooms. Like they didn't actually have the house. They said that Walt Disney Archives, they still receive requests for like plans of the home's interior. Because people are like, I want to recreate that house for myself. And it is a beautiful house.
I would, yeah.
Yeah. As for the cast of the film, like we said, Haley Mills plays Sharon McKendrick and Susan Evers, the identical twins. Brian Keith is Mitch Evers. He's the father. Maureen O'Hara is Maggie McKendrick. She is the mother. And I read, too, that Maureen O'Hara said when she signed on to the movie, Disney offered her a third of what she normally would get paid. And she held out, like she wouldn't sign until they gave her her fee. She said her contract gave her top billing, but then Disney decided to give the top billing to Haley Mills. And she then never worked with Disney again because of that.
Wow.
Haley Mills talks about her being so lovely on set. I mean, I guess the billing and all that would happen after the filming, but
yeah.
We have Joanna Barnes as Vicky Robinson, who is Mitch's fiance. I have thoughts about her. And interestingly enough, she's the only person in the original film to appear in the remake with Lindsay Lohan. She plays Vicky's mother in that. So that's a good. We have Una Merkel as Verbena, the housekeeper. I think it's Crahan Denton as Hecky, the rancher. Mm-hmm. I love them. Oh, Susan Henning was the body double for Haley Mills. And Haley Mills talks about being like best friends with her. And she went on to like date Elvis Presley and stuff like that. So do you want to talk about the music of the movie?
Yes, I would love to talk about the music. So I feel like, well, there are the songs and then there's the score.
Yes.
And the songs were written by the Sherman Brothers, who wrote like most of the songs for Disney movies at that time. And there's three songs in the movie. There's that opening sequence, which I love, even though I feel like it sets up the movie to be like a little more like conniving.
It does. I was thinking that too. I was like, this makes them seem way more like there's going to be like traps, literally like traps.
Right. Well, I guess that's in the title, Parent Trap, but like,
right.
But yeah, like that they are, they're just like being sneaky and going around setting traps, which I guess that happens, but
not on such a literal level. I feel
The movie's just so much more than that. But the opening song is really fun, and it's the opening song. So it's Annette Funicello and Tommy Sands, and they were like, you know, also Disney. Part of the Disney family, I guess, and they were, I think I read that they were filming Babes in Toyland like at the same time, and
yeah,
so they
I was
were,
gonna
like,
bring
around,
that up.
Yeah, they were like around to do the songs.
Yeah, because we were talking when we were gonna do this, I was like, oh, maybe we could tie it like holidays, and we were both saying how we love that Babes in Toyland. I was like, oh, here's the connection, because they were on the same lot shooting Babes in Toyland at the same time, so then they like recorded this song while they were there.
Yeah, and they also recorded a version of Let's Get Together, because that plays like in the dance at the camp. Like it's like apparently in this universe like a real song that they are just copying when they sing it later.
Right.
But, so they sing that song too, that version. And then there's For Now, For Always, which we don't really hear all of in the movie, but it's the song that was playing at the parents' first date, which is not a real song. They wrote it for the movie to sound like, you know, an old, you know, 40s song. And it does play at certain points, but the music comes back. It's like the parents' love theme, which I love. And that kind of gets into the score, which I just love, because it uses that theme from For Now, For Always for the parents. And I think the music just really brings out a lot of the emotion of the scenes. It's like, it can get very melodramatic at points. Like it's very like an old school score. And I just love it.
What are scenes that you love? And you can mention the music, but what are some of the highlights of the film for you?
Yeah. So my favorite scene in the whole film is the scene at camp where they find out that they are sisters and are twins, and they then, you know, plan the trap. And I love this scene because there's so much going on in this scene. Obviously it's such a pivotal it's such a pivotal moment in the movie.
Yeah.
But it's so emotional. Obviously they're finding out that they are sisters. And the way it kind of builds to it, it's very like, you know, what do you mean? That's your birthday. It's my birthday, huh? And it's like kind of building to like, and she's like, Susan's like, oh, there was a picture of my mother that I saw once. So she like has this memory of her, like a picture of her mother.
Yeah.
Because her dad then caught her looking at it and took it away. And then Sharon shows her a picture. I don't know if it's the same picture, but like she obviously recognizes, and that moment of like recognition, like that's my, like I have this memory of my mother in like the back of my mind from this one picture I saw, and there she is again suddenly after all these years, like in a photo right here. I just, it's so emotional. Also, oh, and the music in this scene, so at that moment, just like the strings come in, like
Like
very, that's what I'm talking about, like old school score here, like just very like that little, a little bit of melodrama, but just like it just really pulls at the heartstrings. You just like really see the two personalities of these characters, which really struck me on this most recent viewing of the movie, is that they really have like very distinct personalities that Hayley Mills like really brings out, the writer really brings out, like their whole motivations for doing this are so distinct. Like, Sharon, well, Susan, just like, it's like all about them, her mother, like the whole time, the whole movie. It's like the actual trap is like secondary to her. Like, her whole motivation is like, she just wants to see her mother again and spend time with her. Which when you see later, it's like, she doesn't want to give her up so fast, you know. For Sharon, she doesn't really become interested in it, really, until the idea of the trap. Like, she's like, oh my gosh, like, this is like an epic love story that I love reading in my books, you know.
Right.
And she like wants to put that into reality. Like, she sees her parents as like this epic love story that she wants to bring about. So like, that's her, so like, that's kind of her motivation. And like, you see that both at, see those both at play in the scene. They're those personalities. Like, Susan's just like impulsive, like, oh, I have a plan, like, I know, well, you know. And for Sharon, she like, she thinks it through. She's like more in tune with like what's going on. Like, I just love that you just see that in these characters, and it's all in this like one pivotal scene. Anyway, I just love it. I could watch the scene over and over again.
It is a great scene, and it's a scene that, like you said, it is very emotional, because, and it kind of brings me to other thoughts about just the movie itself and the story and like what the reality of the situation is. But it's done really well in this one, and even in the Lindsay Lohan one. It's a really emotional scene for like two girls who are like, oh, I saw, like you said, a glimpse of my dad or my mom once. And then all of a sudden this stranger pulls out the photo of the parent. And it's like, it's just a big whirlwind of emotions. And it is a really like good scene.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Lindsay Lohan one, not to like make this all a comparison between the two, but like, it is helpful to just like look at what I gravitate toward in one as opposed to the other. But in the remake, that scene is a little more balanced, like with both of them being like, oh, my, here's a picture, like literally, like they bring the two halves together,
yeah,
where it's like, my dad, my mom, we put it together. Whereas like in the original, it really, really is about the mother. That like Susan's talking about her dad, but like it doesn't have that emotional resonance for Sharon as it does for the mom, for Susan. And then in the remake, how they kind of are a little more equal about it.
Here's my sort of rundown. So when I was going through the movie this time, there were some things that I loved, questions I had. So first of all, the opening song, like we talked about, The Parent Trap, the Annette Funicello, Tommy Sands number. I love the stop motion with the little Cupid guy. I just love that. I think the animation opening title sequence is so cool.
Yeah.
The camp scenes are so funny to me, because I'm always like, why are the girls like, they're instantly mean. Like when Sharon and Susan see each other, it's like instant hatred.
I know. Well, I think it's really more Susan. Like Sharon,
yeah, it is more Susan.
There. Susan is like ready to just make trouble.
Kill.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, you get out of here. Like, you look like, it's like a territorial thing with their bodies, like their features. Because I did think like Sharon does approach her and she's like, oh, don't you think it's like peculiar that like we look the same? And then like Susan, they flip the canoe or whatever.
Yeah. Because Susan's like, you look like, I do see a resemblance. You know who it is? Frank. What is it? Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, why are they?
Yeah.
They're so like mean, like right away. And I was like, gosh, they don't even like give a second to think like, wow, this is pretty amazing. We look alike. Like, who are you? Like,
there's just having none of it.
Yeah. And the friends are like, yeah, she needs to go.
Oh like, my God. Well, that's one of my favorite lines when they first see each other and they're in the, I guess, mess hall or cafeteria or whatever you call it. And she's like, the nerve of her coming here with your face.
Yeah, I'm like, what does that mean? Like, if it was my friend, I'd be like, oh my God, like somebody, you have like a twin. Like, And that was like my other question. I was like, why is like nobody reacting the way that I feel like I would react if I was like, there are two people here who look exactly the same and they don't know each other.
Right.
And I thought that, and then I realized the camp counselors like are assuming that they're siblings, like in the scene where they get put in isolation.
Right. Like right before. Yeah. When they are in trouble. That's another one of my favorite scenes.
Which thinking. One? The dance?
Right after, well, the dance into, like, when they're being disciplined or, you know, when they're, because Miss Inch, the camp director, is just, like, the most ridiculously hilarious camp director.
She is funny. And the scene, like, where the cake falls off the pole and drops onto her face, I was reading how the director, they wanted to cut it because they were like, it's just whatever. And Walt Disney saw it and was like, no, you have to leave it in because that's going to be the biggest laugh of the movie. And apparently, like, it was. My other thing in this movie, I was like, there's a lot of slapping in this movie. Like, Susan slaps Sharon. Vicky slaps one of them. The mom punches the dad. I think the mom says something about slapping one of the girls. Like, slapping is like a thing. It's so funny.
There's a lot of, like, little violence. Violent scene, like little bits of violence in this movie. Yeah, the mom punching the dad is very striking. It's a little shocking. Yeah,
I was thinking, like, for the time, I guess, for like a woman to hit a man would be like, like, how could she hit him?
Yeah. But also, even if it's like, you should just never hit, you know?
We do not condone hitting here, but so just watching it, like those movies then, I was like, there's so much people slap each other. It was like a way to like, just, I don't know if you're angry.
Like it felt like it was just like, okay.
It's so funny. One of the other scenes... Or one of the other moments I always love. So this is like jumping when Susan goes to Boston and she meets the grandfather and she's smelling him and she's like, you smell like peppermint. I'm making a memory. Yeah, of tobacco and peppermint. Mm-hmm. For some reason, whenever somebody says peppermint or I smell it, I always just think of that. I don't know. I'm like, I'm making a memory. It's peppermint.
I sometimes think about that part too. Not because of the smells part, but just like, whenever I'm like taking something in, I'm like, I'm making a memory.
I'm making a memory. Yeah, it's such a like, it's a very poetic line. Like, I'm making a memory.
Yeah.
I just really love it.
And it's interesting that comes from Susan. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like a Sharon thing.
Yeah.
But I guess we see the softer side of Susan because she's so tough. And then this was another thing. I couldn't really quite solve this on the internet, but some of the scenes in the movie, and I noticed this in just, I think, movies of that time, like when Sharon and her mom are walking in the park in Boston, when the shot's like wide, they're clearly outside. But when it's like close up on each one of them, you can tell it's just like a screen behind them.
It
and I'm like,
so
why?
Fake.
But like, couldn't they just, is it the walking they couldn't do? Like, I was like, why did they have to do it that way?
No, but yeah, it is. It does stand out as looking not great.
I was like, it's so bizarre. And I was trying to Google it to figure out like what was the reason, but I couldn't word it in a way that the internet would give me like what I wanted, because I was like, well, how do I phrase this? I'm like, I couldn't even phrase it, but I was like, it must have been for a reason, or they shot the scene separately, or, you know, like, but it just I was like, why couldn't they have just like close up on them while they were still outside? I don't know. I have to figure that out. Like, I was kind of thinking the parents are kind of not great people, because I was like, can you legally separate your children like that? And I guess you can.
That's the thing. It's like, when I watch it with people who don't know the movie and like haven't grown up just like loving it, they're like, this is horrifying. What they did, like, this is not okay.
When you watch and you're younger, you don't think about it, but now I watch it and I was like, so, you know, these two parents, basically the divorce must have been so bad that they're like, okay, we are both agreeing to never speak or see each other again, and to separate these two girls and to never let them know about you or me or the other one. So no pictures, no talking about the other person. Like, that's like really heavy to be like, they will never know that this whole other side of their family exists.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you can never, they always find each other. You can never.
Yeah. And I was thinking like today, if they like remade the movie again today, it would seem even more far-fetched because I'm like, well, with social media and everything, these two girls would have figured it out like way earlier. Like,
yeah. They would have been like, meet at camp. They met on Instagram.
Yeah. Like, I saw her on TikTok.
Yeah.
I saw her and she looked just like me. But yeah, I was thinking like the, you know, extremes you have to go to keep them from ever knowing about each other. Like, I was like, it's so crazy that the divorce would be that bad. But then at the same time, not to spoil the movie if you haven't seen it, the parents do come back together. And I'm like, well, it couldn't have been that bad if they still, you know, liked each other.
Well, I think you get a sense of like with the fight, with the little bits of violence, I think you get a sense, you're supposed to get like a sense of how things were at, you know, when they were together. It was like fighting and arguing and possibly some hitting and like,
yeah.
So, but I think like at the end, they like in that last scene, which is my third favorite, my other favorite scene, like that very last scene in the movie with them together in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I think they do kind of like mention that they have been horrible and ridiculous and they need to just stop and get together and, you know.
Yeah, I guess they were just too young and they didn't know what they were doing and they were like, let's just.
Yeah, and it's okay. Like, it's not a big deal to just separate kids like not like that. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I guess then too, like, children's rights were just slowly becoming, you know, like, it was different.
Yeah, I mean, if you kind of put that aside, and it's just like the parents were like, that was a horrible thing for the parents to do. And like, the kids are now like taking matters into their own hands. It's kind of that kind of movie.
Yeah, definitely is. So let's see, some other things that jumped out at me. So there was this scene when, like, I guess it's Sharon, when she's really upset with the dad. This is, I think, when he is not aware that Susan and the mom are in the house. I think this is the scene. Anyway, she's really upset or she's mad. And he says something like, you're mad and you're not speaking to someone. He's like, that's so. And I think Verbena is like feminine. And he's like, yeah, it's so feminine of you to not speak to someone when they're angry. And I was like, what does that even mean?
That's like, just like early 60s Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much better than what's going on in Babes in Toyland at the time to compare the two when they have a whole song about, what is it? I'm just a toy or something.
Yeah, she's just a doll. It's a like, doll, yeah, it's a little creepy. That's true. It's time line. Some of these lines are the 60s.
Yeah.
Let's Get Together. Still a great song. I just think that scene is so great. I love how the Verbena and what's his name? I can't remember
Hickey.
Now. Hickey. Verbena and Hickey, they can like play instruments and it's like, oh, Verbena plays the piano and like
I know,
he plays
Verbena
the guitar.
Can just take over.
She just slides in and they do, and I think it's still a great song and I still sing that.
Yeah.
Another point that they always bring up too, which, you know, we weren't comparing the Lindsay Lohan one, but I feel like it's done better in that one, is they're constantly talking about Vicky being so young. But I feel like in this movie, she doesn't look that young to me.
She doesn't, but like, I feel like nobody looked young in older movies. Like, people who were in their 20s in early movies looked like 40. I don't understand how it works, but I think she was actually in her late 20s. Well, I don't know how old the actress was when she made it, but I wouldn't be surprised if she were in her late 20s and still looked like that. Yeah.
She was probably like, okay, so I looked up, she was born in 34. So yeah, she was like her late, she would have been, you know, close to 30, but I mean, she's not, it's not that she's old, but I just, they make a point to bring it up that like, oh, she's so young, Mitch, she's so young. So every scene I'm like, all right, let me look at her. And does she really look young? But I'm like, well, Maureen O'Hara kind of looks, I mean, she looks kind of young too, but yeah. It's just funny because in the remake, it's so clear that she's like this blonde, young girl, you know, yeah. compared to Natasha Richardson does seem like appear to be older.
Right.
I think the contrast is just different, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is about older movies and their conception of young, like what people look like young.
Yeah. But
even people who are young still manage to look old.
And then my sort of overall thought was like, so this movie obviously was a big for its time because of the discussion of divorce. Like people were just kind of, I feel like divorce was becoming a thing, like it was happening and people were starting to talk about it. And this movie really talks about it, especially from a child's point of view. And I was like, well, what does the movie say about divorce? And it kind of reminded me of a film a few years ago. It was called Marriage Story. Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
And that's, I felt like that story was like two people who were getting divorced, but I felt like they were being sort of, it's almost like they could have worked it out, but then the system and everybody around them kind of pushes them into the divorce. And it's kind of, you're kind of like, well, did they really need to get divorced, or they're just divorcing because now everybody around them is like kind of making them do that? And I kind of thought that with this film, because I was like, well, did they really need to get divorced? Could they have worked it out? And, you know, they ended up being back together.
Right. But yeah, it seems like this is, you know, this is like that fantasy of like my divorced parents can get back together again. I guess, I mean, it does happen, I guess. I mean, I feel like this is that, yeah, this is more of a case of like they could have worked it out, but it wasn't really their time. Like they were too young and they weren't ready to be in that kind of relationship, but now that they're older, they are ready.
Yes.
And I don't think that Susan and Sharon were thinking of it that way. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like they were thinking of it more like the fantasy. Well, for Sharon specifically, like the epic love story, the fantasy of getting our parents back together. But I think it more was like, we're actually now ready to be together when we weren't really before. Just want to call out like the writer and the director of the movie, David Swift. I just think he did a phenomenal job. I think he also did Pollyanna, which like came out the year before. It was Hayley Mills, you know, first movie with Disney. And I think it really shows in this movie how she already had a movie with him under her belt. Like she was a lot, like if this had been her first movie, and she's amazing in Pollyanna too, but I don't think she could have pulled off right. What she does in this movie without having done Pollyanna. And I think, I mean, I love Lindsay Lohan in the remake. I think she's great, but that was, I think, her first movie.
Yeah.
And I think I would have loved to have seen her do that movie in a similar way, like with another movie under her belt,
right.
You know, having it because, well, I mean, also Hayley Mills comes from this like amazing actor family in London. Like her father was like a classical actor. Her sister, like her whole he's from a family of actors. So she is an actor. Whereas I feel like, again, I'm comparing the two, which I said I wasn't going to do, but like, I feel like Lindsay Lohan, as much as I think she's incredible in the movie, like a lot of times I think it relies on her being just like very cute, you know, whereas like Hayley Mills is acting. And there's a difference there where, you know, Hayley Mills is a little older, like, the characters are also like, they make, you know, Sharon and Susan are 13, Haley and Annie in the remake are 11. And that's like a big difference. Like it's 2 years, but like 13 and 11 is such a big difference. Back to David Swift, writer and director. I just think the movie is so well structured, just like the three acts of like the camp And then we go into like them separated for the second act. And then the third act where they all come together. Like, it's just, it's so well structured, and the how each act builds, I think, is just so perfect. And the way the two camp, like the movie starts with camp, the movie ends with a camp, not quite ends, they come back, but there's a camping experience at the end that like mirrors it. I think it's so brilliant. And so I just wanted to give a shout out there, David Swift.
Overall, it's a successful movie, and it grossed $25 million at the box office, and that's a lot of money in 1961. It came out in the summer. It is a very summer feel movie, June 21st, because of summer camp, I guess, and it takes place in California. It's warm. It was nominated for 2 Academy Awards, Best Sound and Best Film Editing, which I see, because that trick with Haley Mills, it's pretty good. I mean, you watch it now and it's really good.
Yeah. Like, it's so seamless.
Yeah, it's a really great camera trick, and it's done so well in this movie. They re-released it in theaters in 1968. It's been played on the Disney Channel, and then of course, it inspired a series of these sequels. So tell us about the sequels to Parent Trap.
Yeah. So Parent Trap 2 came out in 1986, and it is starring Haley Mills. Tom Skerritt is the love interest in it. And it's so, like, each of the sequels focuses on like the love life of one of the twins. So in the second one, it's Sharon. She has a daughter. The daughter and her friend in summer school like try to do like a parent trap thing with Sharon and the friend's dad, because Sharon is gonna move to, I think, New York, and, you know, separate her daughter from her like new best friend. So it is like also a parent trap, and but it's like the two kids who aren't twins, you know, doing the trapping, and but there is like a, they still incorporate like a Sharon Susan like
mischief,
impersonating each other, type thing. So that's Parent Trap 2. There's Parent Trap 3 and Parent Trap 4, which are kind of like the same type. They came out like right around the same time. Parent Trap 3 was 8, and Parent Trap Hawaiian Honeymoon, were both in 1989. And so this one focuses on Susan, and the love interest in this one is played by Barry Bostwick. And this is the one that has the triplets, the Joy Creel, Liana Creel, and Monica Creel, who I guess her name now is Monica Lacey. But the Creel triplets, and I mostly knew Liana Creel from Saved by the Bell. She played Tori. That was what I knew.
That's how I knew her too.
What I knew her from. Yeah. But I actually really like these ones, because I think the triplets are really interesting characters, and I would see more with them in it. As those characters, like, they should.
Yeah, I remember liking the Hawaiian Honeymoon in the third. Like, I remember they would play these on the Disney Channel, and I always really actually enjoyed these sequels. I thought they were pretty fun.
Yeah, and I would watch. Yeah, I would watch, like, if they had made a series about the triplets, like, because that's like they do some Susan Sharon mix ups in these, but they also do it with the triplets. Which, you know, it's nice to put the focus on them again. I don't know. I My whole thing with these sequels is that the Susan, Sharon, like, their personalities are just so much less defined than they were in the original movie. Like, they seem like the same person to me in these,
right,
in these sequels. Even though I love seeing Hayley Mills, like, she's like one of my favorites, but it's just like not, it just doesn't feel quite the same because she's, they're just not, they just don't feel that different. Like, they conveniently look the same.
Right.
Like, they have the exact same haircut, which like part of the original movie was like, they actually were like very different people.
Yeah.
You would think like once Sharon was done like impersonating her sister, like she, would she go back to having long hair, or like in these, when they're adults, like would one of them have short hair? I don't know. It's just like,
yeah, that's kind of an interesting question, as to like, they each had their own identity and then they come together and it's like, well, then do they lose their individuality because they're like, well, we're twins, so we have to be the same now.
Yeah. And that's like just something I missed in the sequels, was just like their individual personalities.
When I think of the sequels too, I don't actually ever really think of Hayley Mills, even though I know she was in them.
Right.
I always think of the girl, the other girls, the new twins, the new, you know, I don't ever think them, because I don't think they really focused on keeping them, their distinct characters. And
yeah. And I mean, yeah. And that's why I like the sequels, is like the two kids, like, you know, having fun, or like the triplets, which I really love. So they're definitely great, you know, fun movies, but I think it's that aspect that disappoints me about them.
Well, maybe we'll get some more, because I've read in a few different things that The Parent Trap is one of the sort of titles that Disney Plus is throwing around as,
ooh,
either, I don't think they need to make another movie. I feel like we have Hayley Mills, we have Lindsay Lohan. I think they're both great. I don't think we need to tell that story again.
Right.
But I do think a series or something could be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Not sure what the story would be, but I do think a Parent Trap series, I could definitely see that being like an episodic type show.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, I never really thought about the camping aspect. It starts with this camp and it does sort of like, and I mean, there's some scenes after, but camping's like a big thing in this movie. Like,
yeah, they're like, they're going on this camping trip. Like,
yeah, there's something about camping that's like discovery. They discover each other on the camp. Vicky discovers that she hates not, you know, they all kind of discover something when they camp. So David Swift must have been like a camper, or maybe it's from, you know, in the book too, but it's all just camping, like the nature wilderness is like where you find your true self, I guess.
Right.
Literally.
Vicky's just like, I'm done with all the, you know, pretense here. Like,
yeah,
I can't do this anymore.
Oh, she's terrible. I'm glad she leaves.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like their last, I guess it's called a gopher trap, what they do. And they call it a gopher trap in the movie. I don't know, where they pour all the honey and they have the things come down. And so like that what they do to Vicky at the end kind of mirrors the gopher trap, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I never thought about that. Yeah.
But then I feel like that's pretty dangerous what they do. Like it's
the bear
really
could have killed them.
It's really bad. And even in the remake too, what they do to Meredith, they like leave her out in the lake. She could have drowned. Like it's pretty bad.
Right.
So I don't, in a way, like I don't blame either of them for leaving.
Right.
I mean, they deserve it in a way, but yeah, it's kind of like laughed off as like, you know, we got rid of her. Yay.
Yeah, we're all rooting for that. But if you think about it, you're like, oh, it's actually kind of like a little over the top to do to somebody. But
yeah, I just love it. I don't know why it's called a gopher trap, what they do. Because in the bunk, when they do it, they're like, they gopher trapped us. And I have no idea what a gopher trap is, but that's what they call it. But just so many great scenes, so many great lines. And I mean, the when they're, I guess another iconic scene, to go back to that question, one more thing, is that when they're remaking Sharon to look like Susan, and I always feel so, I feel like Sharon gets like the short end of the stick in this movie a lot, because she's the one that really has to change herself,
right?
And deal with Vicky later, but like she's the one that like cuts her hair, like has to start biting her nails, like
all she this has to do stuff. The most physical changing.
So but even so, just like seeing all that happen is just is also really fun. The teaching the other one that we always another line my sister and I always say, Sharon, will you pay attention?
Will you pay attention? Yes.
And then Susan, would you pay attention?
Well, tell us where we can all find you and follow you, because you have a great podcast called Scene to Song Podcast. So
yes, which you were a guest on. Yeah, which we had you as a guest earlier this year. So I host a podcast called Scene to Song, and it's a musical theater podcast for people who love to discuss, critique, and celebrate musicals as a literary art form. And follow us on... follow it on, anywhere you get podcasts, I think. If not, let me know and I'll put it there. But so Scene to Song is the name of the podcast. You can also find me on my website, ShoshanaGreenberg.com. I also write musical theater journalism. You can find that all there. I'm on Instagram with Shoshana Creates, and Twitter at V Marshmello, spelled MELLOW at the end. I think that's all the places.
You have some really cool guests too. If you're a musical theater fan, you have some really great people on there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Some great musical theater folks, but really anybody can be a guest. The whole philosophy of this podcast is that anybody can be a guest if they want to talk about musical theater in this way. So
yeah.
Definitely would love to hear from you if you want to be a guest as well, but also definitely would be happy to have anybody as a listener. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun being on it. We talked about Disney on Broadway. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. Well, thank you for coming on and discussing The Parent Trap. It was so fun to sort of revisit the movie, because I did think about things and learn some things that I never knew before. And it's funny because it's a movie you watch over and over and there's still always something new to learn about it.
I know. Well, I hope people go watch it on Disney Plus again, especially if you haven't seen it in a while or have never seen it. I talked to some people who only know the remake which is fine too, but definitely revisit or visit the original.
Was one of when Disney Plus first launched, it was one of the first movies when I was kind of playing around on Disney Plus. I saw Parent Trap was one of the first ones I watched after some, newer things. I was like, oh, The Parent Trap's on here. It's like one of those movies you come across and you're like, I have to watch it. So I watched that when that came out.
Nice.
Yes. Well, thank you for being on. And I'm so glad we were able to discuss The Parent Trap.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you had a great time exploring The Parent Trap. Such a good movie. You can watch it anytime with anybody, so check it out on Disney Plus. Make sure you check out Shoshana's podcast, Scene to Song. It's really fun. If you love musical theater, you'll love the podcast. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, follow Disney Inside Out Podcast on Instagram at Disney Inside Out Podcast, and please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Write a review. I want as many people as possible to feel the magic of Disney. That's why I love doing this podcast. So spread the word, rate, review. It helps other people find it. And we'll see you real soon.